Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's service. We're going to start by singing Blessed Assurance, and this will be played on the recording. This has been recorded by one of my friends from college in her church, so we've got permission to use it for our service today. Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andover Baptist Church. Let's pray. Father, we praise you all the day long. Thank you that you are ours and we are yours. We lift this service up to you now. Would you speak to us and bless us through it? Give us ears to hear your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our reading this morning is from 1 Peter 1, verses 1 to 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. So again we turn today to letters written to the early church. In this case from the Apostle Peter, to Christians scattered throughout what is now Turkey. Once again, these Christians are facing hostility from the world around them, and Peter's writing a letter of encouragement and hope. Peter starts his letter by describing these Christians with two important words, elect and exile. He reminds them amongst their difficulties who they are and what God is doing in and through them. Sometimes we need that reminder too, so let's look at it a bit more closely. The elect of God were God's chosen people. In Jewish understanding, this would have been the nation of Israel. They were the ones God had chosen to be in a covenant relationship with him, to bring blessing to the world. Peter takes this idea and extends it to these people reading his letter. Likely to be primarily Gentiles and slaves, they're gathered into God's people by virtue of their faith in Christ. We'll look further into the idea of election perhaps when I have a bit more time in the sermon. But for now, suffice it to say that we're all, whatever our journey to faith, we're all included in God's people and called to be part of his plan for the world. Peter wrote to the exiles. Again, drawing on the Jewish story, this time of the disastrous loss of their homeland. At the time they'd hoped to return quickly, but God had told them through the prophet Jeremiah that many would not return to Jerusalem, but should remain his distinct people and become a blessing to the land they were living in. The recipients of Peter's letter too were scattered, but they too could live distinct lives and bless those among whom they lived. What about us? We too are part of the elect, the people of God, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Christians may be in the minority in this country, but we're still significant. When we worship together, we remind ourselves that we believe a very particular story about the world. We believe that the world has been created by God, broken by sin, but that Jesus' death makes new life possible. We believe that one day everything will be transformed. We live as people with a distinct story in a culture that may not believe any of that. And when we gather, we do so to strengthen and encourage one another to live as God's chosen people. But right now, we're scattered. I've included in the pack I sent out a couple of maps. The first is a map showing the church building. This is where we want to be together this morning. But we aren't. If you look at the second map, this shows where we actually are, as near as I can guess it. Sorry to those whose address I don't know, or who live in Eastbourne and I haven't gone that far out. But we're scattered in the world today. Even when we are able to meet in church, that's not where we spend most of our time. We have a few hours together, and then we scatter. We go to our homes or workplaces or schools or golf clubs or the over 60s. In those places, we might be the only Christians. It's easy to switch off, to blend in. But God's called us there. I'm not the only person in this church called to be a full-time worker for God. Each one of us is elect. Each one of us is called to be a disciple in whatever place God has put us. We, like those exiled Jews, are to remain distinctive and to be a blessing to those around us. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he writes this. Philippians 2, verses 14 to 16. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. We are scattered in the world in a warped and crooked generation. But we're called to shine, to be disciples not just when we gather on a Sunday, but all through the week. To be distinctive in whatever situations God chooses to place us in. My final map gives the locations, if I know them, of some people's places of work or socialisation. The places where God has called you to spend time, the people God has put you in contact with. The London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, whose sermon series we're following here, calls these our front lines. And they say this. Frontline is a term to describe these places. Of course, it has all sorts of connotations. For some, it reminds them of a battlefield. And, whilst we would want to be careful about this, for some Christians, keeping a Christian witness in their place is not easy. Others will have come across the term in their workplaces, classrooms, hospital wards, offices. Front lines are everyday places where we live, work, study or play, and we're likely to connect with people who aren't Christians. Our hope and experience is that it is a term that everyone can relate to, from schoolchild to retiree. We are all the scattered people of God. We all have front lines. Today we can add another example of front lines. Those key workers, in whatever situations, who are coming into regular contact with those who have COVID-19. And that's even more apt for us. Because just as a nurse's front line is the hospital, a bus driver's his driving seat, a dustman his collection points, so our front line is wherever and whenever we're in regular contact with those outside the church. Just as the nurse cannot afford to become like the patient, the bus driver and dustman must keep their distance from their clients, so we must remain distinct from those around us. And just as those on the front lines are no longer fighting against their contacts but for them, so our front lines are a place of blessing for the people we're in contact with. An important principle of forensics comes from Edmund Lockhart, who stated that every contact leaves a trace. While that's true of fingerprints, it's also true of people. Every time a person has contact with another person, it leaves a trace, good or bad. We need to be leaving traces of God's grace on the people we come across, not letting the world leave its traces on us. If you're online, I invite you to pause this for a moment and watch the link that I've sent. I will play it for those of you who haven't got that. It's better if you watch it.
Over a month, around 6% of the UK gather together to worship Jesus.
It feels like we're too few to make a difference. But the reality is, Monday to Saturday, God has us. Scattered in the world, connecting to hundreds and thousands of people.
So wherever you are,
whoever you are,
whatever you do,
you can make difference in the world.
And on Sundays, when we gather together,
we strengthen and empower one another to be sent out again
for life on our front lines.
I want to take a moment just to meet one member of our church and find out a little bit about how their faith affects them on their front line. We'll try to do this each week as we go through this series and look at what we're doing in our work for God every day. So I've got Graham here doing an interview with me.
Okay.
Where do you work?
I work for Transport for London. I am a noise and vibration engineer. My job is to provide support to pretty much all of Transport for London on any issues that they have regarding that. I also do some work with the Greater London Authority.
What's that like?
Really, really interesting. I've always been quite passionate about sound as a thing. I grew up in the church operating the PA. Since I was 11, I've been doing around churches. But yeah, so I get to work on my passion, and that's great.
And when you're at work, what sort of people? Who do you come into contact with?
I come into contact with quite a wide range of people. I spend very little time with my colleagues, with other people who work on what I do, because our work takes us all over the city, working with all sorts of different people. The mainstay of our work actually involves going into people's houses, meeting them, talking to them about their issues, taking measurements, and then producing reports so that someone else can go away and fix it.
Okay. Well, how does your faith affect the way that you work or the conversations that you have?
My faith affects the way I work when I go into a property I'm not allowed to initiate a conversation about faith. That's just the rules, because I'm not there to represent myself or God. I'm there to represent my employer, and my employer doesn't want to be drawn into an argument on that. Just like anybody else in a public facing role, I'm not allowed to initiate a conversation about faith. While I have to uphold certain professional standards, I have to be courteous and things like that, I am going into the houses of people who have a problem. And some of them, particularly when you go into someone who lives in poorly maintained rented accommodation or a council house, you can't help but be drawn by that Christian compassion. So that's one of the ways it affects it. The other is actually when I'm back with my colleagues, I make a point of not being drawn into the discussions about the residents, about the people who have raised complaints with us, because some of them are not the most reasonable of individuals, but some of them are also just incredibly distressed. And so I don't get drawn into that gossip about the people that we're supposed to be helping.
Do you see God at work in your workplace?
My interactions with people are usually so brief that I get no sense of what God is perhaps directly doing in their life. But I know in my job that my work directly benefits people's lives, and occasionally I do actually get to see that when I need to go back and do a second set of measurements, for example. But one thing I have noticed, I seem to have a lot fewer long-term and repeat complainants. And I'm not sure exactly why, but I think there's a very distinct possibility that there's something in my manner as I'm doing something right. Maybe they're just calmed by seeing Christ in me. But I get a lot fewer upset emails and things like that than my colleagues. It might be because I work the suburbs. It might be God working through me in those people's lives.
And that's what we all hope for, isn't it, as Christians in our workplace?
Yeah, it's just the workplace in the 21st century is not open to some of the things that the gospel has to say. So you've just got to live it.
Yeah, great. I hope that's inspired you somewhat to see your scattered life in a new way. If you'd like to be interviewed in a future sermon, let me know. If you'd like to copy the maps I've sent and add your own home or place of work or leisure and send it back, or give me an address or area of your work that I can add on, please do that. It's amazing how far the work of the church can reach and where we can see God in action. Peter reminds us of the foreknowledge of God, who chose us and called us and knows our situations intimately, work and play as much as church. He reminds us of the sanctifying work of the Spirit, who has set us apart as God's people, just as Graham refuses to be drawn into the gossip of his colleagues. He reminds us of our obedience, our need to follow Christ and to do his works in our situations, to be good news to the world around us. And he reminds us of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, the sign of the new covenant which assures us of our relationship with him. We'll be reminded of that again in a short while when we meet together on Zoom for communion. But as we go each day to our front lines, we've been set apart by God and called by him to discipleship in the world. As we go through this series and the study group meeting on Zoom on Wednesday nights, we'll look at the implications of this and how we can do it. When we see our front lines as places where God has placed us, we begin to understand how we can make a difference in the world. Not through the church building or the church activities, but through being ourselves, made by God, called by God, and equipped by God. Our lives matter to him on Mondays as much as they do on Sundays. May we use them in his power for his glory. Amen. We're going to sing again, "Take My Life and Let It Be." And again, Mike's recorded this, so we've got it on the audio recording. As we come to a time of prayer now, may we rest for a moment in the Lord. Open our hearts and minds to Him. Thank you, Father God, that we are your church, the body of Christ in the world. We're grateful for our church, even in these circumstances, that equips us for life as your scattered disciples. Help us to see afresh the possibilities of our everyday lives. May we know your presence with us in the pressures and the potential of the week. Help us to leave traces of grace wherever we are and whatever we do. Just take a moment to bring before God the people and places you're going to come across this week, the situations you face and the conversations you'll have. If there are individuals you know you will be speaking to, perhaps you want to lift them to Him now. Lord, we lift these people and situations in our lives to you. May we see you at work in them, and may others see you at work through us. We lift to you those of our congregation who are struggling with sickness or difficulty or fear or grief. Would you draw near to them and make your presence known, touching, healing, comforting, in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift to you this world, the sickness, and also the anger and violence and hatred and greed. Sometimes it seems like the trouble is too much for us to help, but we know that your hand is on it, that you can work in and through all things for good. Take these situations and turn them around for our good and for your glory. We ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we lift to you this world, the sickness and also the anger and violence and hatred and greed. Sometimes it seems like the trouble is too much for us to help, but we know that your hand is on it, that you can work in and through all things for good. Take these situations and turn them around for our good and for your glory. We ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Go and get your cups of tea and coffee. Actually, no, prepare your stuff for communion. I'll see you on Zoom shortly, and we'll have tea and coffee after that. God bless you.